Morning, everybody. How's everybody this morning? Good? Are you ready for Mother's Day? For some of us, it's a happy day because we are mamas and we love being a mamas. This is why I get to be a mama. This is a picture that's going to come up here in a second. This is why I get to be a mama. So this is one time a year that I get to share a picture of our family. And so this is our Grayson the Great, our almost 16-year-old. He'll be 16-year-old in a week and a half. And then there's Nat, who's 14 now. He's the one playing drums this morning. And our Luke, who is 11 years old. And I love getting to be a mama. These boys are a challenge to me, yet they are such a huge joy in my life, and I wouldn't want it any other way. So anyways, I'm glad to get to be a mama, and this is what makes me a mama. This is the only day of the year that Pastor Tim lets me have the stage, not lets me, but I get the privilege of having the stage for the entire gathering. So you're going to have to bear with me because I'm not normally the one up here for the full gathering and stuff, and I get kind of nervous, and I'm not very good with technology. And so if there's any hiccups or things, I want to apologize to that in advance. And I also want to greet everybody that's joining us online today, too, that you're sitting there in your pajamas and your cups of tea on your couches. I hope that you have a great Mother's Day too. So last year on Mother's Day, I talked about resting easy. That was the theme of the day, resting easy. And everybody that left here left with a sleep mask to remind them that God is in control of everything. And when you lay your head down at night, you can just lay there realizing that God has it all under control. But at the beginning of the message last year, I talked about how Pastor Tim is an occasional snorer, and that two or three times a week I tap him in the middle of the night in order to get him to wake up enough to stop snoring so that I can go back to sleep. Well, I want you to know that a few weeks ago in the middle of the night, I got tapped in the middle of the night. And I was like, what is this? I do not even snore. Like, what is happening? And I woke up and I said, was I snoring? And he said, no, you were humming. So apparently I hum in my sleep and he snores in his sleep. But anyway, so that happened. Okay, so this is Mother's Day and we are all here. And for some of us, it's a sad day because we've lost our mamas, or maybe we wanted to be a mama and we couldn't be a mama. And we feel that for you. I know that for some people, this day is really, really hard and hard to get that through it. And we totally feel that for you. And for those of you that are our mamas and still love your mama and have your mama, it's a great day. And I'm happy to celebrate that with those of you that can celebrate today too. But today, we're just going to be focusing on the Word of God, and this message that I have for you isn't really have anything to do with motherhood or being a mama or anything. This is just a message that I felt like God was having me share with you because we are in the middle of a series called Gifted that Pastor Tim has been preaching on. And we've been talking about how when we come to know Jesus as our Savior, that the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and that He doesn't come empty-handed. That when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, He brings gifts, and He gives each one of us gifts that He wants us to use to serve and to minister in the body of Christ. And those of us that are followers of Christ have these gifts. And I wanted to talk to you all about this Mother's Day, the gifts that God has specifically given to women. Okay? And so all of you, when you came in today, you were handed a worship program, and on that worship program, on the back of it has a place for notes, and there's a bunch of passages that are listed there because we're going to be in a lot of different scriptures today. And then there's blanks that you can fill in for notes and stuff too if you would like to do that. And so because we're going to be in so many scriptures today, I'm not going to specifically say, go ahead and open your Bibles to this passage. But if you want to follow along, that'd be awesome. You could totally follow along. If you wish that you could follow along, but you don't have a Bible, we always have free Bibles here at New Hope that are for you to take. They're on the back on the back wall there. There's a table there that has some Bibles there. Go ahead and grab one. Write your name on it. It's yours. Take it home. And that's your free gift from us to you to have that. But we're going to go ahead and get started in this today. So what we're going to be talking about is how God has gifted women. And this may seem controversial, but I think we need to be talking about this because the question is, Does the Holy Spirit give different gifts to men than what he gives to women? That's the question. Does the Holy Spirit give different gifts to men than what he gives to women? And the answer to that is no, he doesn't. The Holy Spirit does not give different gifts to men and then what he gives to women. And so we're going to be talking about this in the scriptures. And the first scripture that I'm going to be talking to you about is 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7, verse 11. Now, everything that I have based my message off today has been entirely from scripture. And so if there's something in it today that you kind of feel like this rubs me wrong, I'm not real sure about what she said, I want you to do something. I want you to go to the scriptures with it. Okay? You guys go to the scriptures and see, she missed something, and maybe I did miss something, or I interpret this a different way. Okay? But then pray about it. Like, Lord, what does this word say, and what do you want me to learn from this? So for everything I'm going to be talking about today, I want you to weigh it, and then go to the scriptures and go straight to the scriptures to see how you feel about this. But we're going to be talking about the gifts God has given us, starting in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7, and verse 11. It says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. So it is the Holy Spirit is the one that gives all of us our gifts. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. It's the same Lord of who we serve. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God that is at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So we are all given gifts by the same Spirit. We're given to them so that we can serve the same Lord, and we're given them those gifts so that we can be good for the common good, so that we can bring good to others. And then verse 11, it says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So who determines what gifts all of us get? It is the Spirit. The Spirit is the one that determines what all gifts we are each going to get. And then it continues in that same chapter in 1 Corinthians 12, this is 27 through 31, it says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And from there, this is the last verse of 1 Corinthians 12, 31. And then the first verse in the next chapter, which is the next verse, 1 Corinthians 13, is the love chapter. So after it talks about what gifts the Holy Spirit's given us and that he's given us gifts by the same God and the same Spirit for the common good, this is how you love one another. And it goes on from there. And then in Romans 12, it talks about this in Romans 12, 3 through 8. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all of the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So again, in Romans 12, 3 through 8, it says this. And then Romans 12, verse 9 goes into this huge section of, and this is how you love one another. So I love how in both of the 1 Corinthians and Romans, it talks about how these are the gifts. They've been given to you by the Spirit for the Lord to serve others for the greater good. And you are to use all of these gifts and love one another and love one another in all of that. So how are women gifted by God? According to these scriptures, we are gifted in the same way, no matter if we are man or woman. In these scriptures, it says that we are one and that the Holy Spirit is the one that determines what gifts that we're given, and the Holy Spirit is the one that determines what gifts he wants to give as he sees fit. And so there is no distinction to the Holy Spirit of what gifts are given. It doesn't matter if you are a man or a woman. Now, God did give us guidelines in this as far as roles, the roles versus man and woman, because without order, there is chaos, and the Bible talks about that. So you can go back and you can listen to Pastor Tim's messages on mutual submission. You can go back and study the scripture about the roles of men versus women things. But today, we're talking about gifts, okay? So today, we're not talking about roles at all. Today, we're only talking about the gifts God has given us. Now, I didn't necessarily grow up knowing that men and women were gifted equally. I grew up in an amazing church that I'm so thankful for, my church background. I would not trade it for anything, the church that I grew up in. But that in that environment, it really didn't show that men and women were gifted equally because of the fact that it really was more of women are there to serve with the kitchen, or women are there to serve only in their own home with their children. And it really kind of more focused on things like that. Nothing's wrong with that. I'm glad for all of those things. We need all of those things. But it didn't give an example to me that women and men are gifted equally. It didn't give me that example. And it didn't give me the example that God gives to each the way that he sees fit. And I know this can seem controversial, and the reason for this is because it's not really the way that the world has been, that men and women have been gifted equally. Now, I want to be very clear, because I don't want you all to leave from here and going, well, this is what Nikki said, and so we're going to be like all gung-ho about this, okay, because this is maybe not what Nikki's saying. So let me be clear on what I'm not saying today, okay? What I'm not saying is that this is a women's lib talk, okay? Because it is not a women are better than men talk, okay? Those who follow the truth of the word of God do not think that women are better than men or that women deserve more than men, because that's not what the Bible says. What the Bible says is we are all equal. We are all equal, okay? That's very clearly what the Bible says. We are all equal. The Bible says that all are created equal and that all were made in his image. This is what the Bible is very clear on. The Bible says that all are created equal and that all were made in his image. In Galatians 3:28, it says that there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And in Genesis 1:27, it says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We were all made in the image of God. Amen. And Pastor Tim asked me, what am I going to be speaking on Mother's Day? And I said to him, what series are we going to be in at that time? He said, we're going to be in this series called Gifted. And I said, well, I just think I'm going to say a message that goes right along with that series. And I think I just want to specifically talk about how women are gifted. Because I don't know that in the church we really talk about that men and women are gifted equally. I don't think that we really talk about that. And I wanted to have an opportunity in this time that I'm speaking today to talk about how I personally have been made to feel as a woman when I've used the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given me. There are tests out there that are called spiritual gift inventory tests, and if you go through the Growth Track class here at New Hope, you get an opportunity to take those tests. And in those tests, it'll kind of help you to determine which gifts the Holy Spirit has gifted you. And every time I've taken one of those tests over the years, it turns out that my spiritual gifts are exhortation, teaching, evangelism, leadership, and administration. And every single one of those gifts is a leadership type of gift. And because of the way that I kind of grew up in my pattern of thinking, I thought that maybe God made a mistake when he gifted me. In fact, many times I've been treated like there's something wrong with the way that I had been gifted. I was made to think that women were supposed to only have the gifts of mercy and compassion and hospitality and things like that. And those are the gifts that are like socially acceptable for women to have because less men feel awkward around the women that have been gifted in those ways. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those gifts because I need people in my life that have those gifts and I love people in my life that have those gifts. I know a lot of women that have been given those gifts by the Holy Spirit, and I know a lot of men that have been given gifts, those gifts by the Holy Spirit, of gifts of mercy and compassion and hospitality. Like I was saying, we are all equally gifted, and I need people in my life that are gifted like that. However, in my own life, if a woman has tried to use more of her leadership type of gifts that she's been given, then she's been treated by a lot of men like they didn't want her to use those gifts. It's like it made them feel threatened. And for me, instead of us working together as a team to make things better, sometimes they tried to remove me. And I've been told that I was hurting things or been invited to meetings only to be ignored the whole time that I was there. I got really good at knowing the answer to a problem or a situation and just sitting there acting like I had nothing to contribute in order to not make other people that were sitting there feel awkward or uncomfortable. Or if I brought a good idea to the table, a lot of times it was overlooked. But if a man spoke up and said the exact same thing that I said, he was told he was brilliant. When I was treated this way over and over again, it made me feel like I must be a mistake. It must be a mistake, the gifts that I've been given. When you are asked enough, why are you here, or ignored, it can make you feel like something's wrong with you. So many times I spoke from a heart of knowledge and was made to feel like I was dumb. I remember a specific time when some people were trying to shove me out of ministry. It happened. And the life that I knew that God had called me to, they did not want me to live into my giftedness. And I was so broken at everything that was happening that I was in our kitchen and I just crawled underneath our kitchen tables like I wanted something to like hide me. And I was bawling and bawling. I just grabbed one of the legs of our kitchen table and was hugging it. And I could barely breathe. I was crying so hard. And I just was hyperventilating. And this is not something that is normal for me. Normally I'm calm and collected. It takes a lot to rattle me. And I was just so broken at this time of people trying to remove me that I just went under a kitchen table and just like hugged the leg of the table, was sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And Tim kept saying to me like, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? And I was saying, I'm a failure. I'm not the wife that you need. I can't give you what you need. I've totally failed you. And Tim was so broken on that day as well. And it was through that, when we came out of that, when we came on the other side of that, that both of us realized that God did not make a mistake in his giftedness to us. That we are both, Tim and I, side by side, as a husband and wife, going to live into the gifts that God has given us. And that there was nothing wrong with me, and that I am not a failure. And when we got to that other side, it was so freeing. It was so freeing. No more needing to explain why I knew the answer to things. No more needing for me to try to explain how I knew how to solve a problem. Or no more needing to explain why I knew how to teach what we were going to be doing. I'm saying this today not because of the fact that I love being up here sharing personal stories to all of you guys, because it's hard to be transparent and it's hard to like, this is what's going on with me, and it's hard to say this in front of a group of people. But the reason I'm saying this today is because of the fact that I don't want other women to suffer the way that I have. I don't want other women to have to go into it wondering, did God make a mistake in the way that he gifted you? And I don't want other women to feel like they have to spend their entire life trying to explain why they're so good at something that doesn't make sense to somebody else that feels threatened by those gifts. Now, I really want to be really clear in the way I communicate this today, that God-honoring women do not have the goal of making a man look dumb or less than. And God-honoring women do not want to rise above a man and say, see, I'm better than you. God-honoring women just want to be able to use their gifts as an equal, knowing that they are just as loved by their Heavenly Father as any man, that they were created in the image of God the same as any, and that they were given gifts by God the same way as any man was. So they want to be able to have the freedom to use those gifts and to not be pushed down because of it. We have a friend in town who's a doctor, and she has her own property that she has her doctor's office on, and there was going to be another business that was going to be building their business on the lot adjacent to where she has her doctor's office building. And they had started to excavate a little bit, and they were mapping out the different lines for all of the, you know, the gas and all of the those things, electric and everything that goes in when you're building a property. And she noticed, she looked out her window and she noticed that they were making marks and starting to dig a little bit on what was her side of the property line. It was on her property that they were doing this. And so she looked out the window and saw that, and she thought, I don't think they realize that they're digging where they're not supposed to dig. That's not their property. And so she went out, she's very calm about it, and she said, hey, you know, how's it going? They're like, good, good. She's like, great day. Yeah. You know, she's really calm. And so she said, I don't know if you realize this, but I think if you look at your map there, that you're not digging in a place that's on, that's across your property line. You're now on my property line here. And the contractor that was there wanted nothing of her. It was like she was invisible and like she didn't know what she's talking about. She didn't come out and say, hey, I'm the doctor, and this is my property that you're on. She didn't say that to him. She just said, I think that you need to look to see that you're over here. He didn't want to pay any attention to her. She said, just a sec, I'll be right back. She went inside, opened her file cabinet, grabbed the land document that showed the property lines, came back and said, if you just kind of see, it's here. Again, he wanted nothing, nothing. And then she sent out her guy assistant. He went out, and he calmly said, I think you're on the wrong property line. And then the guy said, okay. And then he wouldn't do it. Again, I'm not saying that women want to be better. And I'm not saying that women should be treated differently. But what I am saying is, can we treat them equally? If you're a man in this room, and I'm not like trying to like, I don't have anybody specific in mind or anything like that when I'm saying this. If you're a man in this room and like a woman has told you with calmness and out of wisdom and a heart for you some advice, and you didn't take it, would you have taken the exact same words if it would have come from a man? And if so, why didn't you take it from her when she was there to try to give you greater good? I think there's some men in our culture that if it's a woman speaking, they're just not going to pay attention. And it's like, that does a disservice and an injustice to us as females. And it's hurtful. I just say as a woman, it's hurtful. It's hurtful. Both man and woman should be honored and praised for their hard work, not allowing women to use their giftedness because it could cause a guy to feel uncomfortable is a tragedy that we need to get over. Now, I'm not speaking about women that come at you with sass, okay? So I'm not talking about women that come up and they're like in your face and all, you know, attitude-y and like, listen here, you know, and stuff. That's not what I'm talking about, because nobody wants to listen to that, okay? And if you're a woman in this room and you're like, they won't listen to me, well, if every time you talk to them, you're yelling at them, then of course they're not going to listen to you, okay? So that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about things like this, that a woman has an opinion about something and calmly speaks up with wisdom, it's not fair to call her emotional or sassy or even something worse. When a man has an opinion about something and he speaks the same way, and he's called passionate. Why is a man called passionate, but a woman's called, she's emotional? That's what I'm saying. It's wrong. They're both passionate, okay? We need to not see that she is less than. Beth Moore is a leading evangelical, I don't know, guru, like amazing, like person that she's written tons of books. She speaks worldwide all the time. She goes around. She's been doing this ministry for over 30 years, and she has really been a leader in the movement of women evangelical leaders. And because of the fact that she's a woman that's been gifted up by God to speak God's truth, she's had to fight these battles severely over the decades of ministry that she has been in. And she talks about how we as women have to go through this, but we can learn from it. And what Beth Moore says and how, what she's learned from this is she says, I've accepted these kinds of challenges for all of these years because they were simply part of it and because opposition and difficulties are norms for servants of Christ. I've accepted them because I love Jesus with my whole heart and will serve him to the death. God has worked all the challenges for good as he promises us he will, and even amid the frustrations and turmoil, I would not trade lives with a soul on earth. Even criticism, as much as we all hate it, is used by God to bring correction, endurance, humility, and to curb our deadly addictions to the approval of man. The dignity with which Christ treated women in the Gospels is fiercely beautiful, and it was not conditional upon their understanding their place. I love that, that even though she's been around men that feel like she's always supposed to understand her place, she's like, I will learn humility from that, and I will show them grace, and then I will live in the fear of God, and I'm going to do what God has asked me to do. And I love that about her. And there's a lot of women in the Bible that have modeled this, and I have a lot of different examples for you. One of them is Timothy's mom and grandma. Timothy's mom and grandma were women of influence. Timothy was a disciple in the New Testament, and he helped Paul to establish and develop a lot of the early churches. And Paul wrote the books of 1 and 2 Timothy to this Timothy. He was an important dude that did awesome things for Jesus and his church. And it says in Acts 16, verse 1, it talks about how Timothy's mom was a believer, but that his father was not a believer. And in 2 Timothy 1:5, it says, I, Paul, am reminded of your, Timothy's, sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So Lois and Eunice were definitely women of influence, that they were able to have a spiritual role in Timothy's life, who then ended up becoming a disciple and a person who established the early churches. Another example is Abigail, who is a woman of wisdom. Abigail was married to this guy named Nabal, and they lived during the time of King David's reign. King David, who ruled all of Israel, King David, the man after God's own heart, that wrote a lot of the Psalms and that established a lot of the lineage of Christ, a lot of the history of the Old Testament was based off of King David. Well, King David and some of King David's men were in one location, and they needed to get to another location. In order to get there, they had to pass through Nabal and Abigail's land in order to get there. And so King David and his men asked Nabal, can we please pass through your land? And Nabal was not a wise dude, and he said no. Well, this made King David, who was the king, very angry. Like, I am the leader here. I'm not going to do any harm to your land. I'm not going to steal anything. I'm not going to take anything. I'm not going to hurt anything. You just need to save me a couple days' travel so I can go straight through and having to walk around completely your land to another place. And Nabal said, no, you can't walk through our land. And then King David said, because of the fact that you are not following what your king is asking, I'm going to slaughter you and all your men. And then Abigail heard what was happening here, and then Abigail came on the scene. And so Abigail, so okay, 1 Samuel 25 verse 3 says, his name was Nabal and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman, but her husband was surly and mean in his dealings. And 1 Samuel 25, 14 through 19, it says, one of the servants told Abigail, Nabal's wife, David, King David, sent messengers from the wilderness to give our master his greetings, but he hurled insults at them. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us, and the whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing. And night and day they were a wall around us the whole time we were herding our sheep near them. Now think it over and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him. So Abigail acted quickly. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. And then she told her servants, "Go on ahead, I'll follow you." But she did not tell her husband, Nabal. And so Abigail's seen this all going down. She's seeing, like, David and his men were there, and this is an army. David's traveling with his army, okay? So these are not just, like, peaceful people. These are, like, people like, if there's an injustice against the Lord, it's going to go down. And so they were ready for it to go down. And Abigail saw this, and she's like, wait a minute, this is not cool. I think that we need to, like, calm and defuse this situation. So she sent David and all of his men a feast. And she said, give this to them, let them eat and calm down a little bit, and then I'm going to follow it, and I'm going to come to King David. And she did. And then David said to Abigail, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands. And it goes on to say, otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has kept me from harming you, if you had not come quickly to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive by daybreak. Then David accepted from her hand what she had brought him and said, go home in peace. I have heard your words and I have granted your request. So this is another example of God using women to do strong things that change the trajectory of a lot of people's lives because of Abigail and her wisdom. Another example is Hannah, who was a woman of prayer. In 1 Samuel 1 and 2, it talks about Hannah. Pastor Tim mentioned Hannah when he was talking during the baby dedication this morning. Hannah was unable to have children, and so she prayed and prayed that God would remember her and for her to have a child, and the Lord answered her prayer, and because of Hannah's faithful prayers, she gave birth to a son, Samuel, and Samuel is the one who ended up becoming one of the most influential prophets in the Old Testament. Throughout the Bible, powerful things that women did were recorded. The Bible, there's not a book in the Bible that the author of it was a woman, because during that time, it wouldn't have been able to have been published. But if you look in the Bible, there is story after story after story after story after story of women that did great and mighty things because of their love for Christ, and that they did not fear man over God. They feared God over man, and they stood up and they did things that changed the entire course of history. God has gifted all of us. He's gifted every single one of us. It's like this, that, okay, do you guys know this show Oprah? And how Oprah had an episode where everybody in the entire audience got a new car. So it's an episode where she, you know, was a talk show host, and she said, a lucky person in the audience is going to get a car. And so she said, I forget exactly what it was, but it's like there was envelopes underneath all of their chairs, and she said, whoever has like a gold star or something in their envelope, that's the person that got a car, okay? So she told the entire audience to go ahead and look at the envelopes. So the entire audience looked under their chairs, got the envelopes out, and I forget what was in the envelopes, but like it was like a gold star or something. Every envelope had the gold star, everyone. And so everybody was like jumping up and excited and like, oh my gosh. And like Oprah was on stage screaming, you get a car and 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 you get a car. And there's like the whole entire place is like crazy outrage. Well, the Holy Spirit is like that. It's like this, you get a gift and 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 we all get gifts. And the thing is that, like, if we all are in our gifts and we all of us are excited about, like, not what kind of car the person had beside us. We all got free car. So let's not compare the cars. It's like we all got gifts. So, like, let's not compare the gifts. Let's just be so excited that we all got gifts. We all got them. And we all get to use them for the glory of God. Every single one of us gets to use them for the glory of God. Because I think the flaw comes when we start to kind of get insecure or start to compare ourselves with each other. Because that comparison can lead to jealousy. And when we see others' gifts, we could think, I wish that I had their gifts. But what those thoughts really do is to stop you from using your gifts. You've been given gifts. Let's use those gifts for the greater good and for God's glory, and we all get to win. When we remove jealousy, we need to remove jealousy when we see others using their gifts and not feel threatened when we see other people using their gifts, because we've all been given gifts and we can all use our gifts to benefit those around us. There's a quote that says, when you celebrate the success of others, you experience more success of your own and you enjoy life a whole lot more. When we are not comparing ourselves to other people's gifts or allowing other people's gifts to make us feel threatened, when we're just living into our gifts that Jesus has given us, we're going to all win. All of us are going to get to win at that time. Let's use our energies into something that's going to benefit everybody. In Proverbs 31, it's the chapter in the Bible that talks about what a virtuous woman is. If you go to Proverbs 31, it gives this whole list of all of these things this biblical, amazing woman of God can accomplish. It talks about a woman who's extremely hardworking, that she's smart, she's intelligent, she's a business savvy owner and operator, that she serves others. She is strong and wise and a woman of integrity that seeks to bring others good. And in Proverbs 31, 29 through 31, it says, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. When we focus on things that will last, not things that will not last, like the charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. When we focus on the things of the world, these things are not going to last. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. That's what's going to last. When we not focusing on the worldly things, but on focusing on fearing God and serving Him, then that's when honor will come and where praise will come, because we're focusing our life and our energy on things that are going to be serving God and serving others. I think that if this virtuous woman were here today, that she would tell us to fear God, not man, and to live into your gifts. Don't strive for the things that the world strives for. Those things are not going to last. Aim to please God, and you'll end up blessing people. I think if we were to all get this right, fear God, not man, live into your gifts, don't focus on the things that aren't going to last, aim to please God, we could bless Worcester, Wayne County, Ohio, our tri-state area, our country, and the world if we were to focus on these things. There's so much power into, I'm not living for man or for man's approval. I'm only living for Christ. Amen. It's a freedom that we can live into that's not going to be shaken by people that maybe feel threatened, that feel jealous, that compare us to other things. It gives a freedom that we can be who God has made us to be. There's some examples of women in the Bible that feared God more than man. And I wanted to show you all these examples because I think it's just such a powerful testimony that it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, you can do amazing things for Christ. And in Exodus 1, it talks about the midwives that were told by the Pharaoh that they had to kill the Hebrew babies. And because Pharaoh was really upset by how the Israelites were populating so much, he was afraid that they were going to overpopulate the Egyptians. And so the Pharaoh told those those midwives to kill the Hebrew babies when they were born. And the midwives feared God more than man, and they would not kill the Hebrew babies. In Genesis chapter 38, Tamar feared God more than man when she defied her father-in-law, Judah, in order to honor God and to keep her family line. And if you look in that, Tamar, what Tamar did was so controversial. I mean, so controversial what Tamar did. She is listed in the lineage of Christ because she feared God more than man. In Joshua 2, Rahab feared God more than man when she lied to the king of Jericho to keep the Israelites safe. She knew God's people were there, and she feared God more than man when she lied to the king of Jericho to keep them safe. In 2 Kings chapter 11, Jehosheba feared God more than man when she saved her nephew, who is Prince Joash, from being executed. And in so doing, she preserved the entire royal line of King David. King Joash was the only living relative left, and she, because of her saving her infant nephew when the entire family was being executed, she saved the entire royal line of King David. And in Acts chapter 18, even church leaders, which this is, of course, one of my favorites, even church leaders are mentioned when Priscilla is always mentioned with her husband Aquila. They are always shown as equals in Christ. They are always mentioned together, Priscilla with Aquila. Their names are always together. And the two of them together remembered as leaders of the early church. There are many, many examples of strong women in the Bible who depended on God more than on themselves. Their deeds, as guided by God, are recorded for all of us to read and for all of us to be inspired by. And I wanted to end on this verse here in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you. Each means all, right? Each means it doesn't matter who you are in Christ. We are all together. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If we were all to do this and to live into this, if we were all to allow others to do this and to live into this, we are going to give God so much glory and accomplish so much good for him if we could each of us use the gifts that we have been given by the Holy Spirit to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We are going to go so far. Glory. All right, if you guys could just pray with me here for a minute. Lord, we are thankful for you. We are thankful that the Holy Spirit comes on those who are saved, Lord, and that he does not come empty-handed, that he comes with gifts that you've bestowed on each and every one of us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that today that you help us to be able to celebrate those gifts and that we will celebrate those gifts in each other. Lord, we are one in you, and we are equal to you, and you have a purpose and a plan for each one of us, God, and I pray that you will help us to be faithful to live into that purpose and to live into that plan. Lord, I pray for those of them that are here today that maybe have not even received those gifts yet because they do not yet know you as their Savior. I pray, Lord, that for those of them that are here today that do not yet know you as their Savior, Lord, that they will make that decision to come to know you today. Lord, that they will realize the great love that you have for them by your death on the cross to save us from our sins, and that they might confess those sins, Lord, to you and ask you to come into their heart to be their Lord and Savior. And for those of us, Lord, that do know you, I just pray that you will help us to see the ways that we've erred and not allowing other people to serve and to lead into their gifts, God. And that you will help us, Lord, to make that right and to celebrate others. For all of us to have the freedom to live into our giftedness, no matter who we are, God. And that we will fear you and not want the approval of man, but Lord, that we will do it because of Jesus. And I just ask these things in your name I pray. Amen. Before you go today, we have a gift for all you ladies. And this is a gift.